At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warmer Bubby Low, welcome to Bubby Las Vegas for Ghost Guessings with myself, Craig Eaps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to have aboard Sean Paul. He does great work over at the Field of 68. Coupled with that, I know that he's doing great work over at Action Network as well. We're going to be chatting with him about what he's all noticed here in the offseason. And now we've finally gotten some transfer portal movement. So we're able to take a look at some of the teams that we feel like have brought in some nice pieces, how we feel about some of these guys and their fits in general. We're going to be taking a look at a lot of different teams on that front. And couple that, we are going to be taking a look at just some of the coaching moves now, a little bit post-mortem as we've been able to get through pretty much the entirety of the coaching carousel, unless we get something very, very strange that happens here later on. But that said, we are through pretty much the entirety of the offseason with regards to coaching moves. The ones that he really likes the most and the ones that he thinks are going to be paying the biggest dividends. In the final segment, going to get you guys a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball Monday. And boy, did we see a lot of college basketball news and notes, as you're going to be getting about 27 to 28 minutes worth. So this first segment is going to be a little bit shorter, as we're going to be touching upon a lot of different topics with Sean, including just how to take a look at these teams that have been able to format their rosters, how teams have been really going about the transfer portal as well. And we're also going to be talking about how this might be a developmental year for many of these guys in the transfer portal. Like, I take a look at a guy like Tyler Perkins, who goes over to Villanova after last season. He was over at Penn. He's probably not going to be making too much of an impact this year, but 2 to 3 years down the line could be a big-time impact guy for Villanova, and how much of an impact that has. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @JDN_D1. Keep in mind, Lursey, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Do need you guys to send in those questions, because a lot of times, segment number one, I do base around a lot of those questions and have not been getting into many of them. So help a guy out over here. But that said, we had a lot that happened in college basketball Monday, so I'm going to be leaving this first segment a little bit shorter, and you're going to notice a lot of this moving forward as well, because I do want to just hit on the meat of things. And just with the length of this podcast, I have to take 2 breaks anyway. So you get a very short first segment. You could just skip over this one and then get the chat with our good friend Sean Paul, and then all that we saw in college basketball on Monday. And we're going to be hitting that next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Stevens, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back to the lovely Las Vegas for Guest with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man as Sean Pauly does an absolutely amazing job taking a look at this wonderful game of college basketball. I know he's doing great work over at the Field of 68, but coupled with that, I know that he's doing some great work over at Action Network as well on the betting side of things as well. I know that he, much like myself, has been very enveloped in all that we've been getting in the transfer portal, paying attention to all of these moves that will be shaping what we're going to be seeing in the sport this next year and in many years to come. And to be able to follow Sean on Twitter /X, that is at Sean Paul CBB with Sean spelled S-E-A-N all together. And Sean, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Like you said, never a quiet time in college hoops. You don't even have time to take a nap without missing any college basketball news nowadays. I know you don't sleep, but I enjoy a nice snooze every now and then.
Yeah, but it's always interesting because they say we sleep in May. Can't afford to sleep in May in this day and age because you might be missing a whole heck of a lot. And just what have you made out of the tenor of this offseason in general? Because the coaching carousel is now very much slowed down, especially with now Chicago State having hired on their coach. They didn't pluck anyone away. So it feels like we've got a lot of shall we say, clarity there. But in terms of the transfer portal just heating up, and we have seen so many different coaches move spots, but we haven't necessarily seen a ton of players follow their predecessor over to their new stop, other than really Robbie Avila, who was heading out over to St. Louis.
And Isaiah Swope, that came out too. But yeah, besides those, we haven't seen a lot of the traditional players following coaches. Ian Martinez from Utah State, he went back to Utah State for Jared Calhoun. That was a big pull for him. I thought he could have followed Danny Sprinkle to Washington. I thought that would have been a really good get for the Huskies. But like you said, we haven't seen as much following this year. It's pretty interesting. I think NIL has a lot to do with it, because before, the only factor was really who your coach is. And now you have so many alternating factors that could determine where you're going, to where who you're playing for isn't really the top priority. NIL is really the huge difference maker in all this. The transfer portal is one thing, but NIL has just completely changed what college sports is. And hey, college basketball and college football and all this wouldn't be the same without NIL, because those guys that we got back for extra years, like maybe Hunter Dickinson coming back, that wouldn't happen without NIL. Armando Bacot's not doing 5 years in college without NIL. All of those are just facts. The downside to it is you're going to see a lot of players switching schools. I don't know what the NCAA is going to do about it, if they want it to continue this way. I think it's a bit of a problem at this point with how rampant the transfer portal is. I think the ultimate solution is probably multi-year contracts for players in the NIL space. Give them like a 2-year contract. You get them for at least 2 seasons or something like that. I think that could be where we're ultimately headed. I feel like that could be the best plan of attack, and they'll transfer eventually, but at least you're getting them for a couple of seasons instead of players like Trey Bonham, for example, starting at VMI, going to Florida, going to Chattanooga, and now leaving Chattanooga for another school for his 4 school in 4 seasons. Like, that kind of thing is kind of crazy, but it's just a world we live in nowadays.
Yeah, if you date it back to his high school days, AJ Storr on school number 8 in 8 years. That's just absolutely ridiculous. So
Sean Hall up there too.
Yeah, I mean, we've got quite a few examples of these guys are just bouncing around from school to school to school. And how big do you think that it is in this day and age? These teams that are able to stay out of the headlines just in the fact that they're going to be able to retain a lot of guys. Like, I take a look at what Gonzaga's offseason has been thus far. They pick up Michael Ajay, but bigger than that, it appears as though quite a few of their guys, they're going to be returning to school. And I think that these teams should have a little bit more of a premium put on them, because I do think that that chemistry is so meaningful in this day and age.
I mean, quiet is good, no doubt, in this era of college basketball. Having no headlines is almost better than having headlines. Like you said, Gonzaga, Houston, to a large extent, fits that mold as well. Jamal Shedd obviously going pro, but he's going to get drafted probably in the early to mid second round. He's going to get a nice NBA paycheck. So it's not like he's transferring. He did 4 years and then he decided to go pro instead of use that COVID year. But they add Milos Uzan from Oklahoma to replace him. The other 4 starters return with Emmanuel Sharp, Jawan Roberts, Javier Francis, and LJ Cryer. So like Houston, they're going to be one of the better teams in college basketball next year. Gonzaga, they're going to be one of the better teams in college basketball next year. And you have some of these other teams like Duke, who gets a bunch of newcomers, a lot of them being freshmen, but they only return 2 players from last year's team, Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster, 2 guys who could probably start next year. But they also add some veteran pieces like a Malik Brown, who is one of the better defenders in the ACC this year. You have Mason Gillis, who was a key part of that Purdue national title run team this year. You just have a lot of different pieces on that Duke team that I think can make them a very good team. What they're doing is a lot different than what a lot of these other teams are doing, building through the transfer portal. They're using the portal to supplement their freshman talent.
They are doing a really good job of just being able to marry it together. You bring in a few guys via the transfer portal. Houston always has a few gets, but they're able to maintain many of their own as well, and that is just so massive in this day and age. As Sean Paul, he does absolutely amazing work over at the Field of 68 along with Action Network. He is joining me right here on Coast Coast Hoops, and I do think that this has been just such an interesting offseason, because we mentioned it with St. Louis, the fact that they're bringing in some the Indiana State guys with Josh Schertz heading on over there, and that was a move that I thought was absolutely tremendous for all parties. But just in terms of the coaching moves that we saw this offseason, I personally didn't have a lot that I was critical of. I thought that there were a lot of good moves made, but do want to get your thoughts here if there were a few moves that were a little bit head scratching to you, and just what you made out of some of the moves that you do like as well.
I mean, portal-wise, one of the teams that I'm not really sure what they're doing is USC, right? They get Eric Musselman, which I think is a very good hire. You saw what he did at Arkansas. You saw what he did at Nevada. He's been so good at using the transfer portal and making these pieces fit together. He was doing this before it was cool. He was really one of the pioneers of the transfer portal. What it comes down to, though, is you're at USC. They're going to the Big Ten. A lot of these players you're adding are not starting caliber players in the Big Ten. You know, Matt Noling's a solid player. He's good in the Ivy League. He could be a starter in the A-10. I don't think he's a starter at the Big Ten level, though. I think you're adding a lot of players who could be solid role players at the high major level, and you're going to be starting a lot of them, like Shibuzo Abo. He's a really good addition, but he's probably their best player. I don't think Abo being the best player for a Big Ten team is going to lead to a lot of wins. I think they only have two or three scholarships left, so they're running out of room to make these pieces fit. So they're one of the teams that I don't really understand what they're doing. I think it could be a really long season for them in Musselman's first season. He'll get it going, but I just don't know what his plan of attack was. Just seems like he's going to add the best mid-major talent out there. And we're both mid-major guys, Greg, but I don't think that's the plan when you're at USC.
No, not at all. And it has been interesting to take a look at the haul that they have been getting, because I take a look at some of the raw pieces and I'm like, you know what, it's not too bad, but I don't necessarily know how they're all going to be fitting together as well. And I do think that there are a lot of teams right now, and I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree, but they're just picking up guys, and it does feel like they're going to try to figure it out on the fly. And there are some systems that allow for it, some that don't. And a team that, I mean, it may sound a little bit negative, but I feel like they're sort of doing that, but I think it's going to work, is Louisville. Because I take a look at Louisville, what Pat Kelsey has done, he's just bringing in a lot of talented guys. You've got a lot of wings coming in, like Terrence Edwards, Javon Hadley coming in from Colorado. I know that they've got a pair of guys from College of Charleston and James Scott and Rain Smith who also follow along with Kelsey, but I don't necessarily know how all these pieces are going to fit together. But I just take a look at the guys that they're pulling in, Ali Khalifa especially being a big one of those guys, and it just feels like it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Pat Kelsey is you look at how he was building those teams at Winthrop and those teams at Charleston. He dove to levels that a lot of coaches don't even really pay a ton of attention to, now a lot more than before. But he was getting dudes like Chandler Vaudrin and Demetrius Underwood, guys from the D2, D3, NAIA levels, whatever he could find, and dudes he deemed as winners, he would find them and get them to that level. Now, he's at Louisville where you have NIL money. You have a lot of guys who want you to win. I mean, the Kenny Payne era was a total disaster, and now you have boosters and all those people who want Louisville to win. And Pat Kelsey, he clearly won the press conference. He did an awesome job getting people to buy into what he's doing there. And they've had a really strong offseason so far in my eyes. Khalifa won't play this year. Like you said, it's a lot of pieces that you have to find out how they fit together. But when you're at Louisville last year, they had the last two years, they had two guards on the roster total. So you're getting more pieces that make sense, like Corin Johnson, probably going to be their point guard as of right now. I don't know if I love that, but he could be a solid piece. I'd like them to add another point guard, but overall you have Terrence Edwards, who is really good at James Madison. You have Corin Johnson. You have Rain Smith, who could at worst be a good bench shooter. James Scott. I think they're going to get a lot more guys in the portal as this goes on. But so far, I think Louisville's done a pretty good job at least upgrading their talent base from what it was the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, they had like no guards whatsoever throughout much of that Kenny Payne era. I remember when it was L. Ellis, and also L. Ellis, who was completely manning the backcourt. So certainly we are far a ways away from there. And now it's joining me on the show. We do have Sean Paul, who does great work over at Action Network along the field of 68, joining me right here on Cusco Soups. And it is really interesting to take a look at some of those scenes where it does feel like they're sort of just picking up guys, and I do think that they're going to figure it out a little bit more after the fact. But in terms of some of the biggest impact transfers, there were a few that come to mind, because I do take a look at Keyshawn Hall heading out over to Central Florida. I thought that that was a very under the radar get. Granted, they might only be getting him for 1 year, but I absolutely love that. Obviously, what Indiana has done has been very solid, though I do have my question marks as to whether or not our good friend and Mr. Mike Woodson will actually use those pieces correctly. But who have you taken a look at in the transfer portal, and you feel like they've been winners to this point?
One that added another piece is UAB. I think they've done a really good job becoming a team that could win the American next season. You return 72% of your scoring. You get Buddha Johnson back. You get Yaxel Lendenborg back. You get a lot of those pieces with Christian Coleman also back. They have a lot of talent back from last season, and they added three really big transfers so far with Tyron Moore, who averaged 17 at Georgia Southern, Brad Ezewiero, who averaged, I believe, 12-6 at St. Louis. And then you also had a Greg Gordon, who was one of the better players in the MAC this year at Iona. So they did a really good job bringing three transfers to match what they already had coming back from an NCAA tournament team, a team that really competed against San Diego State in that tournament game. So I think UAB's done a really good job. I think they've been a winner so far. Some of the other teams that I think have really improved, you have to give Indiana winner status, but I don't know how the pieces fit. To me, you're trying to replicate what Arizona did with Tubelis and Ballo to an extent. And what Indiana fans think is that this is going to be, you know, no doubt a top 10 team in the country. And hey, Indiana fans are very dedicated. I'll give them that. But there's a very real scenario where the same issues you had last year are still problems. They might not be able to shoot the basketball. You're really hoping Mbako, Cannon Carlisle, and Miles Rice all make shooting jumps compared to last year. And then you also add another shooter, maybe a Luke Goody, for instance, who entered the portal from Illinois. That seems to be the buzz. But even then, this is still not a good shooting team. You need these guys that haven't been good shooters previously to make a jump, and that is asking a lot. That's not a certainty. So I don't know for sure how this Indiana team's going to mesh, but the talent level's obviously improved from last year, where they really add Xavier Johnson for half the season, Trey Galloway at the guard spot. Like, Gabe Cupps wasn't ready to start Big Ten basketball games last year. Let's keep it real here. But he was pressing that action because of injuries. But Indiana, they're going to be a tough team to figure out for me, but they have to be winners based on what they've added.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Like I said, with the coaching itself, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be able to utilize the talent, but the talent itself that they've gotten in, yeah, it is certainly there. And how much you just sense a little bit of a looking in the mirror, for lack of a better term, for these Big Ten teams that have been very resistant to utilize the transfer portal? I've really dove in a little bit more this offseason because we haven't seen too much from the likes of Wisconsin, what have you, but as we know, with bringing in a new coaching staff over at Michigan, Dusty May, he has been diving in full force. We've seen Indiana really embracing the transfer portal. Heck, Rutgers has actually gotten some nice pieces as well, and I think that the conference is looking at itself, the fact that they haven't won a NCAA tournament since 2000 with the Flintstones. I think that they're realizing that they need to adapt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, some of these schools like Purdue, they don't need to add a lot of pieces from the transfer portal because of what they're getting back. Like, Braden Smith's going to be really good. Fletcher Lawyer still going to be a really good. Trey Kaufman Wren is probably better than just about any player you're going to get from the transfer portal at that five spot. He's going to make a big jump next season. He was already really good in his role this year. I think he'll only get better. So maybe add a couple pieces to replace, like a Mason Gillis. But overall, like, you don't have a lot to replace. So for them, it makes sense. For Wisconsin, you have to replace AJ Storr, and that's not an easy task because he was really good last year. Obviously, his efficiency numbers could have been better, but he was a very important piece to what that team was. They became a five seed, and they were really good offensively in large part because of what AJ Storr is able to do. So I think they need to find a guy who can handle the ball, who can create shots, because that was an issue for them 2 years ago, and they lost Chucky Hepburn as their point guard this year. Could be a rough season for Wisconsin unless they really get busy in that transfer portal here soon.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I have not been very bullish on Wisconsin has been doing here in the offseason. I am not very bullish on the Greg guard system in general as well. And how much you take a look at some of these teams, and maybe they don't have the world's worst results, but you just look at them, much like I do in Wisconsin, and you just think, man, they could be able to maximize a little bit more if they decide to get with the program, for lack of a better term, if they decide, you know what, we're going to make a few changes, because it does feel like for a program like Wisconsin, they just never adapt, they never evolve, they stick with the same thing, and while it might deliver some results for like a few weeks early on during the season, like we saw this past year, I just don't think that long term, it's necessarily going to lead to a lot of success.
I would love it if Michigan State followed that same formula where they're able to add guys and not just rely on in-house development. Like, they don't lose a lot of transfers. That's one thing that Tom Izzo has been really good at, is not losing guys to the portal, impact guys at least. I mean, you lost Pierre Brooks, but he wasn't really doing much for you. The biggest guy that they've lost in recent years, probably Julius Marble. Like, Mati Sissoko, he wasn't going to play next year very much anyways, like he didn't this year. But AJ Hogard's going pro or transferring. He's not coming back, Tom Izzo already said. But they have pieces where they can get better. Like, Trey Holloman's good. Xavier Booker and Cohen Carr should get better. You have a decent recruiting class coming in. Jeremy Fierce should be back. But you need to add a little more shooting. You need to add a little more talent. Like, you need to get that Tyson Walker replacement. I don't know if that guy's already on the roster. I don't know if Fierce can be that. I don't know if Holloman can be that. So go get somebody from the transfer portal that could at least be a version of that, a guy that can get you 10 to 12 points per game. I know it's hard for to learn the way Izzo coaches and all that, but get a guy with multiple years of eligibility left. That was a big selling point with getting Tyson Walker when ended up playing 3 years in Michigan State, is that he has multiple years to learn Tom Izzo's system. Okay, he did that. He was awesome. So keep utilizing that. Keep getting dudes from the transfer portal who can fit in right away and make a difference.
And how much have you been noticing that as a little bit of a trend as well? These schools that they bring in a guy, maybe not to have him play a ton of minutes year number one, but as year number two, year number three lingers on, they're going to be able to develop them. Because I take a look at a move like Tyler Perkins going on over from Penn to Villanova, and I don't know if he's going to be able to step in right away and be the sort of scorer that he was out there in the Ivy League, but I sense that with Perkins, because he was a freshman last year at Penn, when he spends a year in the Villanova system, when he gets into his junior year, his senior year, he could be a nice impact player for them, though this year it might be a little bit more muted in terms of his production.
I mean, like you said, a guy with 3 years of eligibility left, it's hard to know how much production you're going to get in those 3 years, because you really don't know if they're going to transfer again at some point. That's kind of the thing for me. Like Perkins going from Penn to Villanova, like, will he transfer again? Probably not, right? But we've seen instances where guys have multiple years remaining, you don't think they're going to transfer, and then they transfer again after 1 year, after having a big year. Like Elijah Hawkins went from Howard to Minnesota, says he's coming back, and now he's transferring. You just really don't know with guys with multiple years left if they're going to transfer again. That's just what we're dealing with in college basketball right now. But you want to get guys with multiple years left and hope you can retain them from a year-to-year basis. But this is really, I mean, you're recruiting your own guys every single year at this point. It's not just recruiting outside pieces. You're recruiting your own guys to make sure they don't leave for other spots. It's not an easy job to be a college basketball coach right now. I have a lot of respect for all that they have to do at this moment, because it seems incredibly stressful. It's stressful to just follow by itself, let alone having to recruit players. That can't be easy, but it's just tough to know, like, who's going to be there on a year-to-year basis. I mean, some teams have lost their entire team. Some teams have gotten their entire team back. Some teams have gotten five guys back. It's just a wild world we're living in right now.
Yep, it is a wild world that we're living in. We need something reliable, and Sean, you are just that. You do an amazing job every single time you join this podcast. You're doing great work over at the Field of 68 Action Network and so much more. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you could drop a follow at Sean Paul CBB. That's where you'll see all my content.
Absolutely. Sean does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game of college basketball and always lends great insights on this game that we all know and love. So big thanks to Sean for joining me on Cuts to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball Monday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cuscus Heaps with myself, Craig Heaps Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Sean Paul. He does tremendous work over at the Field of 68, coupled with that Action Network, taking a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. It's been a topsy-turvy offseason, to say the least, but I know that he's doing an absolutely amazing job taking a look at all that we're getting on this front, so it was a pleasure to be able to get him aboard. Big thanks to Sean for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours, and We did see quite a few big signings on Monday, including one guy that was going to be going to Kentucky, but instead he's going to be going to Arkansas. This is Carter Knox. He was a top 25 rated recruit, according to On3Sports. 6'6", a little bit of a combo player. He's able to light it up from three-point range. He's able to guard multiple positions. He becomes, as far as I've seen, the second player that was supposed to be a part of the Kentucky team from this past season that has pledged to Arkansas. Big Z, he is the other guy that's going to be coming in. As we know, he actually played last year. This is actually a true freshman, but going to be very interesting to see what John Calipari is going to assemble. And it appears as though John Calipari, it is very clear that he is prioritizing trying to bring over some of the guys that he had from a season ago, slash some of the guys that he was supposed to be having for this upcoming season, and trying to bring them with him. So I do think that that's a good approach to be taking, and I do think that it's going to be one that'll be working out for them, but we shall see how many guys he is going to be able to pull in before he has to hit more of the true portal itself. We saw Tyrese Hunter, one of the hottest players out there in the transfer portal last season, was playing over at Texas and was a rock solid player over at Texas. 11 points, right around about 4 assists per contest, playing alongside Max Asemus, and every year at college has been able to increase his 3-point shooting percentage. He has decided that he is going to be going to Memphis, and it's a good gift for Memphis without question, because the biggest thing that Memphis has been lacking has been defense. And Tyrese Hunter, he began his career over at Iowa State. As we know, with Iowa State, he was able to play some very rock-solid defense, and I think that that is going to be big for this Memphis team. If they're going to be able to have him be a relatively plus defender, if they're going to be able to have him do a nice job on that side of things, I think that this is going to pan out for a Memphis team that they bring in P.J. Haggerty, part of a Tulsa team that didn't play any defense whatsoever. Dane Danger was part of Illinois, as we know. Defense wasn't great. Kobe Rogers coming over from Wichita State, top scorer over at Wichita State. Not necessarily a great plus defender, so you do fear that Memphis is going to be still stuck in that vortex in which they're not necessarily going to be playing the world's greatest amount of defense. But that said, I do take a look at this signing, and I think that's absolutely massive for Memphis. A nice ball handler, a guy that doesn't get out of sorts with it, and I do think that Penny was able to land himself some very, very good talent here. You did see Chris Johnson. He was a Texas guard, really just did not get out there on the floor too much at all, and I believe that he was actually a Kansas signee. He's going to be going to Stone Cold Steve F. Austin, and for the Lumberjacks, such an interesting team, as they are a bunch that is able to really run it and gun it up the floor. They generate all those turnovers, and 2 seasons ago, they were a very good 3-point shooting team. For Johnson, I do think that there's some upside with him being able to pop it from 3-point range after this past season. Wasn't necessarily so great on that front, but I do think that this is a good ad for a Stephen F. Austin team that is looking to keep up with the Joneses in the WAC, as we've seen Grand Canyon have themselves a very nice offseason, and Seattle in recent years has been able to do a good job of hitting the portal, though very early on them as well. We did see the Washington guard in Corin Johnson last season. He was logging about 11 points, nearly 3 assists per contest. He has decided that he's going to be heading on over to Louisville, and we did talk about this a little bit with Sean Paul and the fact that I'm not quite sure exactly what sort of system we're going to be getting with Louisville, but I am looking at all the pieces, and I'm really liking what they are providing with what we saw with Pat Kelsey's system over at Charleston. It's not like they were necessarily lighting it up from 3-point range. They just got a lot of possessions. They did a nice job being able to generate second and third chances, finding cheap ways to be able to generate just possessions in general as well. 2 seasons ago, that was really generating a bunch of turnovers, and Johnson could be sort of in that fold. He shot 37.5% from 3 this past year over at Washington, generated a little bit over a steal per contest as well. Granted, he was in that just dreaded Washington system in which they play the zone, and that's not necessarily too tremendous, but that said, I do take a look at this, and I do think that this is going to work out very, very well, both for Corin Johnson and for Pat Kelsey as a whole. You saw a big pickup for the transfer portal in Elijah Hawkins. He is now out there. He is ready to be claimed by someone, as he 2 seasons ago was over at Howard and actually led all qualifying college basketball players in terms of turnovers 2 seasons ago. Last year, really hunkered down with those turnovers. He was over at Minnesota. He was able to do a nice job being able to facilitate some good offense, and many of you guys know him because Minnesota was oh so profitable for you, but 7.5 assists per contest, top 3 mark in all of college basketball, went from turning the ball over about 4 times per contest to 2.7 times per contest, so was really able to make a nice impact for that Minnesota team that was oh so profitable this past season. This is a big pickup for Duke, Mason Gillis, who was just a really nice role player in general for Purdue this last season. Not a guy that was going out there dominating the game or anything like that. That was obviously giant of the earth Zach Edey, but just made some nice winning plays for the team in general. Was able to log for them about 6.5 points, 4 boards at 6'6", able to pop it very well from 3 at about 47% from distance, 86% the free throw line. He's heading on over there, and Duke, you could tell that they're adapting to the transfer portal a little bit more. When Coach K was there, they really never hit the transfer portal. Now they sort of have to, especially when you're losing guys like Jeremy Roach and company, but I do think that this is a very good pickup for them, and I do think that he is going to be able to make some big contributions for a Duke team that was very good at being able to light it up from three-point last season, and Duke, just as a whole, they were pretty well-rounded last season. Mason Gillis, I think that he fits his system very well. How about what we've been seeing out of Will Wade? He must have made a strong A-double-S offer to our good friend Insincere Parker. He was playing over at St. Louis this last season, and he was over at St. Louis, averaging nearly 16 points per contest. He, unfortunately, was dealing with quite a few injuries that kept him off the floor. He pretty much missed the entirety of, like, December into early January, but in the 16 games that he did play, shot 42.5% from three-point range, was able to log about 4.5 rebounds per game. He's heading on over to McNeese, and what Will Wade has been able to form at McNeese has been nothing short of incredible. He has decided that because he doesn't have a job out there in the SEC, he's going to bring in some SEC-level talent. This is the second guy that he's brought in. Joe Charles, the top rebounder over at Louisville, is the other guy, and right now it's been very, very impressive what they have been bringing in. So do like that move, and gotta love this move for Michigan as well. They land another big-time guy, Sam Walters. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Michigan, playing for Dusty May, and has been interesting with Dusty May because he also brought in Roddy Gale on Monday as well. He brought these in all towards the a.m. hours of Monday, and for Walters, he's a guy that's able to do a nice job spacing the floor at 6'9", shot it very well from three-point range, was a little bit more of an ancillary piece while he was over at Alabama, but guy that certainly has a whole bunch of talent and a guy that I think is going to be able to make a big-time impact. And then for Gale, he, I think, is going to be one of the main focal points of this offense this past season over at Ohio State. 13.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists per contest. And guess that the Michigan versus Ohio State rivalry isn't quite the same in basketball as it is in football, as I don't think you'd ever see this in football, but my goodness, with Dusty May, the talent that he's been able to rack up has been quite good. He brings in Trey Donaldson from Auburn as well. That was from a few days ago. 7-footer Danny Wolf, who's able to pop threes from Yale. He's coming in along with Reuben Jones. And for Roddy Gale, I think that he's one of the biggest pickups right now for a good friend in Dusty May. But Dusty May doing a nice job. Now the question becomes, is he going to be able to land any of those Florida Atlantic guys as well? Or is he decide, you know what, we're just going to be going full-fledged with some fresh guys. We're going to be going with a little bit of a different philosophy in general with regards to being able to acquire talent thus far, as yet to bring in any of those Florida Atlantic guys. So going to be very interesting to see what we get on that front moving forward. It's a new era in Marshall as Dan D'Antoni was relieved of his duties during the offseason, and they're going to be looking to perhaps have a little bit more guard play and perhaps be able to upgrade that a little bit, as a guy that is from the great state of West Virginia, Mikel Dawson, was spending the last few seasons out there in the MAC over at Akron. He has decided that he's going to be going to Marshall. Now, Marshall has, throughout the last few seasons, been a team that has been very rough with their three-point shooting, and for his career, shot about 31.5% from distance. He only shot about 29% this last season, but was able to log about 5.5 points per contest as a part-time starter over at Akron. Akron was a very good defense-oriented team. Do have to question how much he's going to be able to provide offensively for Marshall, and if they're going to be maintaining a relatively similar tempo to what they've done in past seasons, as they were a very, very up-tempo team. But that said, pretty talented guy that's going to be heading on over to Marshall, so a relatively solid get there. This was one that is pretty major if you're looking on the mid-major level, not so major if you're looking on the power conference level. DeMarco Miner, he was playing this last season over at SIU Edwardsville. He's heading on over to Oregon State, and for DeMarco Miner, he was one of the top scorers this last season over at SIU Edwardsville, and well, he was a very undersized guy that was able to do a nice job of being able to hit the boards this last season. He had just 6 feet tall, was able to log about 8.5 rebounds per game, was able to chip in there 13.5 points per contest, a little bit over a steal. Not a great three-point shooter, though. Shot about 31% from distance, and with the team losing Jordan Pope to the transfer portal, they had to replace him with something. They're going to be bringing in DeMarco Miner. Do think that things are still going to be very rough for Oregon State. They're trying to be able to bring in guys via the transfer portal, but even with them probably playing a lot of WCC teams, I have to think that they're playing a lot of Mountain West teams as well. Don't necessarily see it here with Oregon State, but they do bring in DeMarco Miner, who they're hoping is going to be quite major. Tedrick Washington Jr., he was playing this last year over at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. He's decided that he is going to be heading to SEMO, Southeast Missouri State. He, this last season while he was over at Corpus Christi, was a part of a defense that was one of the best mid-major defenses out there in all of college basketball. Was not necessarily a prolific scorer, but did shoot about 37% from three-point range. 6.5 points, right around about 1.4 steals per contest as well. Guy with some very active hands, and I do think that he's going to be able to step in and give this SEMO team just a little bit of a boost, because last year, you know that they were just missing those guys like Philip Russell and company that led them to the NCAA tournament. They were dealing with a lot of injuries in general as well, so that was a brutal just sort of year in general for Southeast Missouri State coming off an NCAA tournament appearance and bringing in a guy that was a part of a good defensive system. I think that that's a step in the right direction. Looks like there's going to be a lot of retooling over at UW Green Bay as they have signed quite a few guys. Scott Eby, he's going to be coming in the transfer portal. I think that that's going to be a good get, though. It's going to be very hard to replace Noah Reynolds. Noah Reynolds was pretty much a team this last season over at UW Green Bay, and he's going to be heading on over to TCU. We've seen TCU have quite a bit of success with these guys that were at a little bit of a lower level, but were complete dominators for them, and just be able to have them be in a little bit of a different role at TCU. We saw this last season when they were able to bring in Jameer Nelson Jr. from Delaware. He fit in with that program so well, and it's not like Noah Reynolds is completely foreign to a little bit of a higher level of basketball. He put up 14.5 points per contest 2 seasons ago over at Wyoming. This past year over at UW Green Bay, 4.5 assists, nearly 4 boards, 20 points per game. Just was able to light it up there. Now, can't expect him to head on up to the Big 12 level and be able to duplicate those numbers, but I do take a look at this pickup for TCU, and I do think that it is going to be quite one of impact, and we shall see if this is going to be a move of impact as well, as Drew King is going to be looking to be the king over at Elon. He this last season was playing for UIC, and over at UIC didn't necessarily play the world's greatest allotment of minutes or anything like that, but comes into an Elon unit that a season ago they had some relatively good three-point shooting for King. Just was really not able to get out there on the floor too much in general this past year, but if you look at what he did 2 seasons ago over at Houston Christian, shot about 33% from three, logged about 9 points, 4.5 assists per contest. He's able to be a nice facilitator for an Elon team that last season they were just very clearly missing that one guy that was able to dole out the ball, was able to help in a wide variety of different ways. So I do think that this is going to be a nice impact gift for them, and I do think that this is going to be a nice impact get as well. How about the former Pac-12 rivals in Stanford and Oregon clashing on this one, as Brandon Angel last season was over at Stanford, 13 points per game, 5.5 boards, shot nearly 45% from 3-point range. He is heading on over to Oregon, and this is such a good get in my opinion for Oregon, as we know Dana Altman, he was really one of the true originators of the transfer portal. Bringing in an impact guy like this, I think, is so big, because you did see Oregon this past season deal with a lot of attrition. They were dealing with a lot of injuries in general. Being able to get someone that's able to go out there, pop some threes, do a nice job on the glass, I do think that he's going to be able to step in right away, and he's going to be able to give this team a nice impact. We did see with St. Louis, they were very active in the transfer portal the last few days. We saw Robbie Avila over the weekend, follows coach in Josh Schertz over on over to Indiana State. And now Isaiah Swope is going to as well. He was in that Indiana State system this past season, shot about 43.5% from 3-point range, 16 points per contest. A few seasons ago as well, he was over with Southern Indiana, was able to be a dominator on that front. We shall see how these guys are going to be able to do it in the Atlantic 10, but I do think that they're going to be able to step in right away, have a bunch of production. So love what Josh Schertz is doing over at St. Louis, and do think that it's going to be resulting in a lot of success, and do like him bringing over a lot of his own. It's something that has been very tried and true, and a lot of these coaches, they have not been able to do so this offseason. Mr. Schertz, even though he hasn't been able to get all the Indiana State guys, he's been able to bring in a few. You saw C.J. Wilcher be a nice impact player this last season over at Nebraska, was really their sixth man, shot about 40% from three, 7.5 points per contest. He's heading on over to Texas A&M, and this is so impactful for Texas A&M because they had just no stinking shooting whatsoever this past season. A&M was really good on the glass. They did a nice job of being able to have guys that were able to get rough physical. Defense was not great, but it was relatively solid. But now being able to bring in someone that's able to knock down some threes, I think that that is going to be of big impact. So do like this move, and I do think that that's going to be able to elevate them moving forward. It's going to be interesting to see what the prospects are going to be for UT San Antonio. Meet me for the Roadrunners. Transfer of Carlton Lingard. He officially entered in the transfer portal on Monday. Really like this guy. It's 7 feet tall. He was able to shoot in the mid-30s from 3-point range, 6.5 boards, 9.5 points, block and a half per contest. spent a little bit of time beginning his career over at Kansas State. So I do think that he'll be able to step in for a program right away and he'll be able to make a little bit of impact. So going to be watching to see where he ends up. Vanderbilt, they have ended up with a lot of good talent in general. And so now they've got Devin McLaughlin, who's going to be going into the fold as well. He last season was playing over at Boston College. And was at Boston College wasn't that primary guy. That was obviously Quentin Post, but he was able to be a nice number three option, 10 points, 6.5 boards. Someone that's able to pop three, shot 39% from three, has never really attempted a ton of threes throughout his college basketball career, but he is someone that is capable of having that sort of range, and do love what Mark Byington has been able to do thus far. He played a very up-tempo system over at James Madison. Don't know if he's going to be able to do that here with Vanderbilt, though, because he's bringing in a lot of guys that are coming in from Virginia Tech, which is a slow and controlled system. Boston College wasn't like a slug or anything like that, but they weren't running and gunning it. Grant Huffman comes in from Davidson. That was a very slow system as well, so going to be very interesting to see what happens there, but I do think that the overall talent that has been assembled, it is very rock solid, and I do think that Mark Byington is going to be able to turn around a Vanderbilt program that, honestly, they've been able to bring in guys in the past. They've done a solid job of hiring coaches, in my opinion. It just never worked out because they've had so many guys dating all the way back to Darius Garland many, many years ago that have just gotten hurt. Damar Langford, he this past season was playing over at Central Florida, and I believe that he actually began his career over at Boston College as well. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Albany. He actually spent some time starting for Boston College during the 2021-22 season. That season, he was able to put up 2.5 assists, 5 boards, 11.5 points per contest. Has never been a great three-point shooter. Shot just 25.5% from three-point throughout his career. Was all sorts of banged up this past season over at Central Florida, but going on over to Albany, a team that loses Sebastian Thomas, their main facilitator from a season ago, he should be able to see a whole bunch of minutes, and I do think that he's going to be able to make a big impact, and this is very, very big for this Albany team, a team that is looking to ascend as Vermont has really had a stranglehold over that conference over the last few seasons. And getting back to UW-Green Bay, was getting Scotty Ebi into the fold. It actually might be pronounced Ibubi. Hopefully I said that correctly. I do think that this one is going to be a relatively solid one for them. Doesn't take away the sting of the fact that you lose Noah Reynolds in the transfer portal. That's going to be a big impact for them moving forward. But with Ibubi, he comes in after he last season was able to do a relatively solid job of being able to man the glass for Southern Illinois, right around about 6 points, 3.5 boards, as a 6'10" big man that is able to deny a few shots at the rim. It's never been like some super shot blocker, but shot 69, very nice percent from the floor. So I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away, and he's going to be able to give the team a little bit of a boost. And it's a UW Green Bay team that, to start with, was able to do a very nice job of being able to hit the glass. And you did see Xavier Dussel. He has been really starting up his tour of Mountain West schools, as I know that he was with Wyoming a few seasons ago. This past year was playing over at Fresno State. Now he's going to be transferring on over to Nevada. Going to be very interesting to see what the Wolfpack are going to be able to get out of Dussel, as this past season he was able to put up 11.5 points per contest from three-point shot, about 39.5%, and helped out a Fresno State team that, without question, they were able to do a better job from three-point in past years. Fresno State was absolutely awful on defense, though, and for Nevada, the reason why they've been able to get to the NCAA tournament the last few seasons has been because of their defense. So you saw Nevada also bring in Brandon Love. This is someone that comes in from Texas State. Texas State wasn't quite the behemoth defensively that they have been in past years, but I do think that Love is going to be able to come in, and he is going to be able to be that more just primary defender, 10.5 points, 5.5 boards, 1.4 blocks per contest coming into a Nevada program that they always seem to be able to utilize big men to the best of their abilities, and they didn't necessarily have that one primary rebounder, that one go-to guy in the post. I do think that bringing in someone like Love, that is going to be able to help them out moving forward, and it does balance itself out, and we shall see if Dussel is able to be a little bit more of that just spot up, be able to light it up from three-point range sort of guys, and just really be able to elevate this program in general. We were talking with Sean Paul a little bit before, and I know that he was mentioning that he's very impressed with what UAB has been able to do, and I do like this pickup as well, as Bradley Ezawiro, he is going to be coming in after last season. He was spending it over at St. Louis. Over at St. Louis, he was able to log 12 points, 6.5 boards per contest. 6'8" gentleman that began his career over at LSU along Georgetown. So school number 4 in 4 years from him. Not a guy that's necessarily going to light it up from 3-point range, but we've noticed a little bit of a change in philosophy year in and year out from Andy Kennedy. He never has really the same team twice. When Jolly Walker was in the fold, they were a team that very much played up-tempo, popped a bunch of threes. This past season with Yaxel Lemborg, who it looks like is going to be returning, they very much prioritized being able to get second and third chances on the glass, as a wide role, I think is going to make this team be a little bit more just oriented in the post. But I think that it's going to be able to work out for a UAB program that has done a nice job of being able to just acquire talent here in the offseason, because you bring in as a wide role, along with that, you've got Greg Gekko-Gordon, who is the top scorer over at Iona. Tyron Moore is a guy that's able to light it up from three-point range for Georgia Southern, so do like what they've been able to pick up. And it is going to be interesting to see what you're going to be able to get out of USC, as well as you did see Rashawn Agee, who was solid this last season over at Bowling Green. He was able to give the team 7-plus rebounds per game, but I'm just not sure he's going to be able to fit in at the Power Conference level to the point of what we were talking about before with Sean. He's going to be adding on over to USC as well. So that's going to be something that is going to be of very much interest. What else is going to be very much of interest is Madison Dewar. What he's going to be able to do over at Monmouth, as he was playing at the Citadel this last season. And for the Citadel, they slowed things down, but they still weren't necessarily an efficient defense. But Dewar was able to be a relatively solid player on the offensive side of things as well for Madison Dewar. He was one of those just tough light options for the team. 12 points, 3.3 assists per contest. Not a guy that would necessarily light it up from three-point range in his 2 years on campus. Shot a combined about 28.5% from three-point range, but did a nice job not really turning the ball over at 6'4". Would like to see him be able to upgrade that three-point shooting a little bit as Monmouth. They had Xander Rice, the son of King Rice, who was really able to elevate that program this past season. So going to be very interesting to see what is going to be happening on that front, but no doubt about it, I do think that he's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to provide that team a little bit of a spark in the backcourt. Kobe Julien, he was playing over at Louisiana this last season, and if it weren't for injuries, Julien, I really think, would have been even more highly touted than he already was, but he has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Arkansas State, and I think that he is going to be absolutely tremendous for an Arkansas State team that was one of the better mid-major offenses in all of college basketball. They played not a single lick of defense whatsoever, and he was playing for a Louisiana team that was one of the best at being able to guard the three-point arc in all of college basketball. This is essentially going to be year number, I believe, now like 7 for him in college basketball. He's recruited in the class of 2018, so Van Wilder 2.0 here, but at right around about 6'6", has been able to shoot for his career about 34% from distance. He's able to give you a rock solid about 5 boards per contest. Really became a nice primary scorer. So do like what they are doing. And also with USC, this is one move that I do like. While USC has brought in a lot of like mid-major guys, what have you, bringing in Chibuzo Agbo, who was playing over at Boise State this last season, was able to log 5 boards, 13.5 points per contest, shot 41% from 3, has a little bit of size. I do think that that's going to be a solid gift for them. Now, the one thing that you're able to say about him is that he's not necessarily a guy that's going to be doling out the ball or anything like that, but all in all, I do like his game. He was a part of a Boise State team that played some pretty tough, tenacious defense, so I do think that that's a very solid get as well. We did also see Trey Phipps. He was playing this last season over at Oral Roberts. He has decided that he's going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He's going to be going to Northeastern State of the D2 level. This is very easy for your handicap with regards to a guy like Mr. Phipps. All you need to do is note that, all right, this guy was at the Division I level last season, and he actually began his career at Oklahoma. So talk about a fall off here. He goes from Oklahoma to Oral Roberts all the way down now to Northeast State, but you're able to cross him off your list of guys that you're looking at for some upside. He did shoot, by the way, 42.5% from three-point range, and you're able to move on from there. Jevin Porter, he was playing at Pepperdine this last season. He's going to be staying within the WCC. He's going to be heading on over to Loyola Marymount, and I love what the Mount is doing right now. They've picked up some nice guys, and for Javon Porter, he is actually a part of that Porter family tree. Now, I don't think that we're going to be seeing him taking his player prop unders or anything like that, so fortunately, that's not going to be the case, but for Porter this last season, he was very good over at Pepperdine, a team that played no defense whatsoever, but offensively, they were rock solid. He did miss the first 10 or so games of the season, but he was able to give the team 16 points, 6 boards per contest. Did only shoot about 30% from three-point range as a freshman, was able to shoot 35% from distance, but with the guys around him, there were occasions where a bad possession for him was better than a good possession for so many other guys other than Houston Mallett on the team. And for Loyola Marymount, it's been a topsy-turvy road for them the last few seasons. You're just wondering when this program is going to be able to ascend, but I take a look at this transfer portal haul that they've been able to have. Myron Amy is someone that I certainly do like. He was a top scorer over at San Jose State this past season. They did a nice job of also being able to land a few guys from the Power Conference level as well, bringing in Matoor Diop, who was just pretty much glued to the bench over at Nebraska. They're bringing in also Jan Vide. He was another guy that just didn't see a lot of run when he was over at UCLA, but I do think that these guys are going to be able to make quite a bit of impact, and I do like what has been built around there. You saw Jalen Spear, who he was the top scorer over at Florida A&M this last season. He was able to light it up with 15.5 points, shot 39% for three, dealt with a little bit of injury towards the beginning part of the season. He's decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. Going to be interesting to see the offers that he gets, because as we know, the MEAC and the SWAC, just not necessarily the highest level of just play in general, but at the same time, put up some really nice numbers. He was able to shoot it well from 3 points, and typically that will translate up a level. So I'm very intrigued to see what teams are going to be knocking at his door. And the team that was knocking at Jalen Leach's door, that would be Northwestern, as he has decided that he is going to be going from Fairfield over to Northwestern. And he was a primary guy for Fairfield this last season. 16 points, 4 boards, 3 assists per contest. As we know with Northwestern, they're going to be losing quite a few guys from a season ago from that backcourt, but was able to shoot about 35.5% from 3-point. Now, what we need to see from Northwestern, them pick up a little bit more on the rebounding front, as that was really the biggest bugaboo that you had for them this past season, but being able to bring in a talent like this, I think, is going to be solid. And Northwestern is one of those teams that they haven't necessarily made the big splashy transfer portal gets or anything like that, but at the same time, they've done a really nice job of being able to pluck out these guys from the mid-major level, find a way to be able to have them fit their system. And I do think that this is going to be another guy that's going to be able to fit that Chris Collins system. Jamal Mashburn Jr. has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Temple. We give our O'Delane Kiffin go Owls, and this is going to be big for them. Now, the one knock that I have on Jamal Mashburn Jr., he's not necessarily the most efficient player in the world. He actually had his worst year in the last three for New Mexico. He was averaging about 18 to 19 points per contest each out of the past two seasons, and then this last year, 14 points on 31.5% three-point shooting. He's a little bit of a black hole sort of guy in that he just really doesn't dole out the ball like a lot, but that said, he's a guy that can certainly fill it up. And if you saw Temple this last season, they did not have like anyone whatsoever that was able to light it up from 3-point range. Bringing in a guy like a Jamal Mashburn Jr., that certainly elevates their overall shooting, that elevates their overall backcourt. So I do think that this is going to be a nice impact guy for them moving forward. And I do think that Nigel Burris is going to be an impact guy as well. He was playing this last season over at Utah State two seasons ago. He was at Idaho, and while he was at Idaho, he was a nice gadget guy that was able to shoot about 45% from 3-point range, logged 5 boards, 9 points per contest as a 6'7", nice little wing, just could not get out there on the floor this past year over at Utah State, only averaging about a point, 1.5 rebounds per contest. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. As we refresh verbal commits right now, as I am recording this podcast late on Monday, 1,772 players are in the transfer portal. I do think that we're going to be hitting 2,000 when it's all said and done, and hopefully we can hit 2,000 units one here in the college basketball season for this upcoming year. Right now, that is the main objective. Get you guys set for what is going to be the most profitable season ever in college basketball for this upcoming year. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Gus Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters DM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks to Sean Paul of the Field of 68 along with Action Network for joining me in live segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the year, whether that be regular season and off-season. And I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.